My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 14th of August 2009 and the time is 9:20 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your date of birth and where you're from?
My name's Sally Ann Ryan. My date of birth is the 25th of June 1963 and I've come from St Mawes, which is near Monmouth in South East Wales.
And have you travelled today especially to London to come and do this?
No, we came last night to make sure we got here on time for an 8:30 start.
And do you have to go back afterwards, or are you staying in London?
No, we have to go back because then we're driving up to Liverpool to go out to Spain tomorrow on holiday.
How are you feeling about going upon the pump today?
I feel okay. I don't feel nervous yet, but I'm sure when I'm stood on a crane in front of all these people in Trafalgar Square, I'll be a bit nervy.
And what has coming here and seeing the plinth been like? Has it been what you expected?
Yeah, well, I've been in London a few times over the past month, so I've seen it, but I've kind of ignored it and put it to the back of my mind. Don't get worked up. I've tried not to watch. Every now and again I've been tempted and gone on to the website and see and watch, but then I just turn it off because I don't want to feel like I'm not going to be interested enough or it's not going to be fun. I don't want to be freaked out by it, so it's kind of what I expected, but I'm just putting it to the back of my mind a bit until I've been on it, and then I'll watch more.
When did you first hear about the project?
It was before a lot of the media, so before it started I'd read about it. It was probably in something like the Observer, the arts supplement somewhere. I read about it, and that was when there weren't many people applying back then.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
I like Anthony Gormley's work. I love what he does, but probably more than that, I love art, and the thought of kind of doing something historical like this and being a part of it and being capsuled, as it were, for history, that's the biggest pull for me.
And when you first heard that you had a place, how did you feel about it?
I was excited. Then I thought it might be spam and might not be real and it might be a joke until I got the phone call from the One Another representative. I didn't really believe it. I told people, but half thought it was a joke.
And can you tell us exactly what you'll be doing for the hour?
I'm going to be painting. I'm an artist who works in animal portraiture for lots of animal charities around the world. In 2008, I started working with Save the Chimps, which is that's the biggest chimpanzee sanctuary in the world, who rescued all the NASA space chimps and also hundreds of chimps that were used in biomedical testing. In an awful laboratory that was closed when government funding ended because of its cruelty. So I'm going to be doing that because I think that's what represents me most. I'm vegan, I'm involved in a lot of animal rights groups, so I think to do anything else that wouldn't really represent me, and painting chimpanzees or other animals is what I do every day, so it was, you know, and it's quite visual, so I thought I'm lucky that I can do something that is truly me and use my hour that way, and also hopefully promote the charity and also the vivisection that happens in the UK and America and in the world.
And can you tell me how you got into that line of work?
I got very drunk at a charity reception in May 2008, and I'd painted my own dogs, and it was a free bar and they were giving very big vodkas away, and I sat next to Triana Romero, who was the director of development for Save the Chimps, and she said, oh, we're looking for an artist. And I said, oh, I can paint chimps, but I'd never painted a chimp in all my life. I'd never even drawn one, but as luck would have it, I did my first one that worked out really well, and it's gone on from there. So vodka is what got me into art.
And have you always been an artist by profession?
No, I'd done it a bit at school, and then I'd had just a mixed career path of doing nothing in particular. It was only, I lived in America for a couple of years and I didn't have anything else to do. I was looking after a small child, my small child, I should say, my son Gabriel, and painting was just something I could do in the daytime that didn't rely on anybody else, so I didn't have a work visa. So it's really only for the last 3 years, the first year was just for my own enjoyment and it didn't go anywhere. Then I started to sell it. And then in the last year, I've done it internationally for charities.
And what is it that interests you about art and painting?
I get a lot of pleasure from it. I love it. My artwork is realist, so the chimpanzee portraits actually look like the chimpanzees they're supposed to be. And people who work at the sanctuary and who know the chimpanzees recognise them. So I like that. I like the fact that I can replicate these faces. I like the fact that mine are very colourful and people enjoy them, and that people who probably shy away from animal testing and animal cruelty actually look at them and probably will read the stories behind the animals I paint, because they're not offensive to the eye, as it were. They're not, you know, dark portraits. They're very positive.
So is that something that you studied at any point, or did you just discover it yourself?
No, my great-grandmother was an artist who studied in Paris. My grandfather was an artist. My sister's an artist. So it's in the family. I knew that, and I did okay at school at GCSE. I got an A in art. It was my only A. But after that, I just left it to, you know, my sister was the artist in the family, so I didn't ever really explore it. I did other creative stuff, like writing and acting. I'd done that. And literally it was only 3 years ago when I was bored and I picked up a paintbrush and started painting my animals, and then it escalated from there.
And what did you do before that? Can you tell us a little bit more about the writing and the acting?
I write now for cruelty-free .org, an American, a Californian-based website on animal rights issues. I've written short screenplays that haven't been produced, that have just gone into competitions. I've written articles for newspapers, for British newspapers. Acting-wise, I did some professional acting about 7 years ago. I'd studied acting at college. I still have an equity card, but I never act, and I probably never will, but I'm going to keep holding my equity card and keep the membership going so I can say I'm a member of equity.
And what will you continue to do now? Will you continue to work as an artist?
Yes.
And a painter?
Yeah. Absolutely. Paint, this is where I've discovered myself in the last couple of years. This is what I love doing, and it is totally, my life revolves around it. It revolves around animals. I have 25 animals at home that I care for. Obviously, being vegan is a huge thing that affects my life every day wherever I go. And being able to paint and professionally do something is a blessing. I feel blessed that I can do that. I'm lucky, I think.
What are the animals that you have at home?
I've got one cockerel, two guinea pigs, three horses, four pigs, five dogs, and 10 chickens.
Does it take a lot of time to care for them all?
Yeah, it does. It's it probably takes about 2 hours of my day and more. Chickens, somebody told me, don't take much, actually take quite a bit. But you know, they're worth it. My chickens are ex-battery chickens, so the fact that they had a really crappy life and now, you know, they're free to do it, whatever they want to do, gives me a lot of pleasure, actually. It's pretty two-way, so I don't mind. But yeah, it takes a lot more time than I probably thought it would, and I think 25 animals for the moment is enough.
Where does your love for animals come from?
I don't know. I mean, I grew up with dogs. There's nothing. I'd never saw anything when I was younger. You know, I cried at Dumbo and was never allowed to watch that again. Maybe that affected me somehow, I don't know. But nobody ever preached to me. But when I was 12, I was just eating a sausage for a friend's birthday and a picture of piglets came into my head. I was heaving and that was it. I never touched meat again. So and that's pretty unusual for nobody to tell me. It just, that was it. It just, it finished then. I mean, as I've got more involved, it's progressed, and now I'm vegan, so I have nothing to do with any of it. So, but where it came from, I don't know. It's just in me somehow, yeah.
And could you tell me a little bit more about some of the organisations you've worked or supported, campaigning for animal welfare?
Like I said, I do the cruelty-free.org website, which is just, that's general animal things. A farm sanctuary in America, which is the largest farm animal advocacy group. I was quite involved with them while I was in the States. They're an amazing group. who just campaign on behalf of everything that's happening with factory farming and animals in general. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals I've had some involvement with. They were kind of responsible for me going vegan. Some of their milk campaigns kind of brought the truth home. I paint, or I'm about to start painting for a spay and neuter dogs charity in Texas in America. But Save the Chimps is the biggest one. Also Chimp Sanctuary Northwest, which is in Seattle in the US. I've just been asked to do a portrait for them to raise money. So lots really. Probably more American, probably over the last couple of years, because I was living in the States. It's more US based. But today with the internet and travel, it doesn't matter. It's worldwide. Doesn't matter whether it's UK or USA or both. Also the Dr. Hadwin Trust, which I'll be writing on a card today. They are a group that raises money to do research that doesn't use animals, which I think is incredibly important, is to give people an alternative, not just say you don't like something happening, is to say here's an alternative.
Another then, you'll be painting a picture, will you?
Yeah, this is Jennifer, one of the chimpanzees at Save the Chimps. She's the sixth chimpanzee I've painted, sixth or seventh for them. And I've mostly finished. I didn't want to get up there and have it, because the first hour of painting, you're not going to see anything interesting, I don't think. So what I wanted to do was get her almost finished, leave her eyes, which is really hard for me because I paint the eyes probably after about 4 hours, because that helps me do the rest, because it helps me connect to her or him or whoever it is I'm painting. But I've left them blank. So I'll be touching up her face and just painting her eyes. So, which kind of, in a cheesy kind of way, gets her so that she'll see for the first time, because there's also there's a butterfly which represents freedom. And I also put African symbols in the painting, so the butterfly I've painted is an African butterfly, or I'll do African flowers, because obviously these chimpanzees that come from Africa will never see an African butterfly or an African flower. They'll only ever see American things. So.
And how will you be raising awareness for the organisation?
Hopefully the paintings themselves raise awareness. I've got some written things just with website addresses. I'm wary of information overload, because if people see too much, they stop looking at anything. There's a million things I'd love to say up there. I could plaster the plinth in pictures and how I feel, and the organisations that I love and that are doing so much every day for very little. But I've got to be very selective, I feel, because otherwise I just look like I'm ranting and crazy.
What impact would you like to have?
I would like people to visit the websites that I put on here. I'd like people to think about animal testing and realise that we're not as advanced as we think we are. We laugh at the Victorians, we laugh at how stupid they were and the stupid things they did. You know, the things they did with the poor people, you know, they used the poor humans then. They did things to their bodies, and now we're outraged by that. We can't believe anybody ever did that. And yet, here we are testing on chimpanzees, for example, who share almost 98% of our DNA. You know, there are relatives, there are brothers and sisters, and yet we sell them in underground dungeons, you know, so they live alone 40 years, and we think that's okay. So I want people to realise that this isn't okay, that scientists don't, just because somebody's a scientist doesn't mean to say they know everything, they don't. You know, there are plenty of good scientists out there that are working to get rid of animal testing. So I'd like people to go away and realise that, and also realise how many dogs are used. Because I think people, because the vivisection industry have you believe that it's all mice and rats, because that's the only footage they will ever show, because they don't want the UK public, the British public or American or whichever other countries to realise that there's dogs. Last year there were over 4,000 dogs used in the UK in laboratories. You know, we're horrified when we see pictures of Korea of dogs in cages. We know the UK is up in arms, and yet we readily accept dog suffering in the UK, just can't see it, it's out of sight, out of mind. And the site, the vivisectors will never release footage. The only footage you ever see are from animal liberation organisations. You'll never see, I've never seen scientific footage of them. And in the US, the last stats were 2007, there were over 70,000 dogs used. And I just don't think people realise that. So I hope they realise that it isn't just as important as mice or rats are to me. It's easy for other people to dismiss those as worthless. I don't think it's as easy for cats and dogs that are used today, yesterday and tomorrow that will be used.
Do you have any expectations about how the hour will go?
Well, I bought an amp to play music so that I can totally ignore. I don't want to have conversations with anybody. It's kind of, you know, it's a lot of what I'm, my messages will only probably be seen on the internet. They won't be necessarily displayed to people around the plinth, but it's such a fruitless thing to get into conversations with people about animal testing. It's a waste of an hour, with respect, quite frankly, because people have such strong views and I don't want to get drawn into that. I just want to go there and just do my painting because that's what I love, listen to music because that's what I do when I paint, and get lost in that for the hour and just enjoy it. That's it, really, just make the most of this amazing opportunity.
And obviously you're raising this awareness for the organisations you love, but who would you say that you're doing it for other than that?
You mean other than...
Is there an element that wants to entertain other people, or are you doing it... Is there a part of you that is doing it for yourself as well, for you to have the experience, or is it fundamentally about raising awareness for the organisations?
I want to, and hopefully the music will be a bit entertaining, and I'm trying in my own way to change the way, or at least do animal awareness in a bit of a different way with music and bright pictures, and, you know, rather than the stereotyped way in which people perceive anti-vivisection people to be. And so it's a bit entertaining for the public, the music, you know, otherwise I would have just worn my iPod if I just wanted it to be my music. But I just wanted to create some kind of entertainment. For me personally, there's nothing, unless somebody Googles my name, there's nothing there that would promote. Obviously I'm promoted because I'm there and I'm painting. People who know me know my website, they know me anyway and they know what I do. But it's because I raise very little or no money for myself. Most of it goes, all of the chimpanzee stuff has gone to the charity. What I will get out of it is just the uniqueness of the hour. Yeah, so other than that, I want to be there. I'm there today for every animal that's in a lab, for all the chimpanzees that save the chimps, and for all the people that work for animals every day. God, that makes me sound so self-righteous, and I'm really not. I just think we don't get a big enough voice because it's not in the government or anyone's financial interest to let the truth be heard, but yeah, if I, you know, this is what I do, so that's how I'm going to use my hour.
What are some of the other things that are important to you in your life?
My son Gabriel, and my animals at home. That's it. My life really does revolve around this. It revolves around animals, my family. It totally encompasses my life, I just realised. This is what I do, this is what I eat, sleep and breathe. So, yeah, this is definitely me today. This isn't me pretending to be something I'm not. The fact that I won't speak to anybody unless a friend pops down and might say hello. I'm actually very not introverted. I mean, I can, you know, when I act, I've always played somebody else. I can do that. It's a cliche, but I would never present a program, for instance. I couldn't do that. I couldn't be myself. So this is actually, in some ways, quite a difficult thing to do. So that's why I'm hiding behind the music and just going to go into my own world. But the chance to do this historical thing is too much to not do.
Have you participated in arts projects before?
No, other than my own stuff being used. No, nothing like, certainly nothing like this. No.
And do you have interest in other art forms? Do you do things in the time that you might have?
I really don't. Do I do? No, I don't act anymore because I haven't got the time to. I haven't got the time to spare. No, I go to a lot of art galleries. I'm very lucky. I get to travel a lot, do my husband's work. So I've been in San Francisco recently. So I see a lot of galleries, the museums of modern art in San Francisco and New York. So I see some amazing paintings. And I consider myself very lucky to do that. And that's how I get involved in art, other than painting myself, is going and being amazed, mostly by historical artists. And getting my eyes really close to the Starry Night, Van Gogh's Starry Night, to me is incredible. To peer as close as I can without getting told off by a steward, or maybe take a sneaky photograph, and to be that close to something so historical to me is a real honour.
And you've mentioned the fact that you're kind of part of history by doing this project, and you obviously like art, and you've mentioned Gormley. So what does it mean to you to have this opportunity and be one of 2,400 people going up on it?
It's incredible. We can't say it will never happen again. Who's any idea what they're going to do with the plinth, or who's going to apply? People may do this, but it means an awful lot. And it's interesting, and it's nice that everyone gets represented, that it hasn't been too crazy. There's been crazy times, but there's also people that go and sit there and do nothing, which I like. So to be part of that, to be part of this like graph of the UK, I can't really describe it because it's undescribable. It really is, to sound incredibly corny. I feel blessed and very, very lucky that I got onto it. And I'll be talking about it forever, and I'll be telling the same way that I look at my great-grandmother's paintings, and I'm obsessed by that and the history of that. My great-grandchildren, hopefully, if I have any, will look back and know that their great-grandmother stood on a plinth in Trafalgar Square in London, in one of the biggest cities in the world. It's incredible, you can't really top that as a life experience.
Do you see it as an art and a history project?
The history thing is probably coming to the forefront for me. It's for it all to go down, and because I love art museums and I love archives and I love old stuff and I love reference materials, that excites me the most. And being inside, it's like being inside a piece of art. So when I go around and look at the photographs, as in San Francisco, at MoMA in San Francisco, looking at the photographs there, these ordinary people all around them, they had a big exhibit of Americans throughout the years. I was just looking at these ordinary people, and that's what I feel this is like. One day in 50, 100 years' time, people might look at all these pictures of all these ordinary people and just wonder about them.
And for you personally, how would you summarise your experience of the project since hearing that you had a place into this moment just before going up?
It's been a bit surreal. It's all been a bit weird, and it'll carry on to be surreal, I think, beyond this, probably till it's calmed down after I've been on. It's been great. I've felt very proud to be a part of it, and it's been nice to meet people and watching people's faces when they ask why I'm going to London tomorrow, and I say, oh, I'm going on the fourth plinth, and watching their jaws drop to the floor. That's been fun. It's all positive. Good.
And what will you do with the painting when you finish?
The painting will be used, they produce note cards from my work. So it'll be used to publicise Save the Chimps and raise funds for them.
And what would you personally like to take away from the experience?
It'll be enough that I've done it, that I've been up there for an hour in public, that it didn't rain, that it looks sunny, yay. That I didn't spend the hour under plastic as my painting got ruined. It will be enough to have been up there for an hour. I don't need any more than that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.